This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Welcome to all of you who are joining us today. And I was listening to the intro, and one of the things it says is about equipping moms to lead a Christian life. And that's a little bit about what we're going to talk about today with lunch with Meredith and Felice. And on the line with me is Meredith Curtis. Welcome, Meredith.
Oh, Felice, thank you. It's good to be here.
Oh, gosh. It's always so great to have you. And today we are in the beginning of the Christmas season and the beginning of, you know, we celebrate Advent or the days leading up to Christmas Day and trying to keep it Christ-focused. So we're going to be talking about those kinds of things today and, you know, trying to focus on the Lord and celebrating in a way that, you know, is somewhat traditional in the sense of decorations and that kind of a thing, but also in keeping ourselves firmly grounded and our children as well, because we don't want to be a statistic, do we, Meredith, and have kids that are just, you know, looking for what they're going to get at Christmas time rather than celebrating the real reason for Christmas.
Absolutely, Felice. It is so important to use holidays as a time to not just celebrate God's goodness, but to teach our children eternal things and to build into them godly character traits. And Christmas is the perfect time to do that.
Oh, it really is. And, you know, I know that, you know, we do family prayers each evening and spend some time in what we're thankful for. We tried doing it at dinner time, but it seemed that it wasn't as relaxed as we would like it. And at different times, my children have sports events. And so it was hit or miss. So we really try in the evening to have a time where we just pray together and we thank the Lord and we'll read something from the Bible. And during these days that lead up to Christmas, each night we light a candle and we just really focus on an aspect of the Christmas journey. And last night we were able to do that. And this year I forgot to buy the candles. We usually have three purple and one pink. But somehow Nicholas managed to find one purple candle. So, you know, I was thinking, oh, we'll just grab another, you know, another candle from somewhere because we have lots of candles in this house. But and so, you know, we still had stuff that had not been quite set up and everything. But it didn't matter, you know. It still was the thought that counts. And so, you know, I'm just happy that my children love to do that and celebrate some things. That I feel like, you know, that we're making memories and things that they'll carry on with their families. Don't you feel that way sometimes, Meredith?
Oh, absolutely. I think that some years I'll say, well, I might not do such and such. Oh, but Mom, you have to do that because we always do that. I mean, everything from the cheese ball, the dinner that I make when we set up the Christmas tree and decorate it, to the cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning, you know, to the devotions that we do. So it's, you know, I think that there's something about holidays and holiday traditions that it really, when it provides a sense of security, a sense of this is our family, this is what we do. And as children grow up and leave home, it provides them with a sense of this is my heritage. This is what is a part of me from the past. And just what a beautiful thing. I mean, some of my fondest memories of childhood are of Christmas and the way we did Christmas. So,
right. And, you know, my parents were born in Italy, both of them were. And so there were some things that were added to the traditions that I don't really do anymore. And one was the tradition of always eating fish on Christmas Eve, because we go to church on Christmas Eve. So the thought of coming home and eating fish was not really something my kids liked to do. But we would go to a midnight mass and then come home and eat. And so we would open presents. So I kind of told my kids, you know, it really was Christmas Day, but it was like it was Christmas Eve. But then Christmas Day, the whole day was spent with family and feasting, and we didn't open presents in the morning. So it really seemed like it was more of a Christ-centered focus, you know, with family and that kind of thing. So, you know, some things are a little bit different, and so each family does their own thing. But, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about how we can keep the Lord as the focus during this holiday season. And the scripture we read last night was John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And, you know, I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here, and you know the scripture, but I just love it. I mean, every time I read it, I feel like these chills go through my body, because it is so amazing to me. It's that question that we have in our minds when we read that, you know, the Word is incarnate, and the Word of God existed before he was presented as a baby. You know, it's like, it's that mystery, Meredith, that mystery that we can't quite grasp in our humanness, that to me is, you know, we get these little glimpses from time to time, you know, in the Word of God that shows his vastness and, you know, his divinity in some powerful ways. And this is one of the scriptures that, you know, we start each Advent season with that really brings it home to me. And, you know, and so when we read this, we spend just some time in quiet and just listen, you know. And like I said, it just, like, even just talking about it now, I get chills. It doesn't take much with me, you know. But you know, it just, you know, is there any time that you, you know, are focused either, you know, in prayer services, or, you know, I know you guys spend so much time in song with your, because you're in charge of the music ministry for your church. And I just wonder if there's any time like that where you just feel like, you know, it's so incomprehensible sometimes, but so awesome when we think about it.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, you were talking about the incarnation. That's what theologians call it. And the incarnation is a spiritual truth that is necessary for us to understand. And I think Christmas is the perfect time to understand it, because it's the fact that God became a man, and it is a mystery, and it is incomprehensible, and it is higher than our knowledge can conceive. And you mentioned singing, and one of the things that I love to do at Christmas is with our devotions, we sing Christmas carols each night, and we sing not just one verse, because, you know, we all love to sing. I think everyone in my family sings or plays an instrument or something. And so we sing, like, if there's six verses, we sing all six verses. And one of the things that I love about old hymns and old Christmas carols is they are packed with theology, and they're packed with truths from the scripture about that mystery of this baby that was fully God and fully man, and how can that be? And just absolutely inspiring. And so I love even, you know, songs like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. You know, I remember thinking, only really knowing the first verse of that song, and thinking, oh, this is like an old English song about, you know, Christmas caroling in, you know, London or something. And you sing all these verses and they're just packed again with theology and with that wonderful, beautiful story. And I think that I love Christmas carols, and I love reading the scripture at Christmas. And, you know, one of the things that I've enjoyed doing over the years, and we don't do it every year, of course, but is to look up the prophecies in the Old Testament and then to see how they're fulfilled in the New Testament. And what a confirmation for our faith, knowing that, you know, for hundreds of years, for thousands of years, the birth of Jesus was foretold. And then Jesus fulfilled every single prophecy about the Messiah. And just so exciting. Unlike you, Christmas is so exciting to me. And I always tell my worship team, and I tell myself even, you know, it says speak to your soul. I would say, this Christmas, I want to carve aside time to spend alone with Jesus. And it may not be a lot, you know, when you have little ones, it may not be a lot, but I want to make his birthday meaningful for him and for me. And knowing that I've carved time aside to let him know that he is the Lord of my life, and he is number one. And I think that's very important, especially when we have little ones, because we can get so caught up in making Christmas special for everyone in our family that we can forget about making Christmas special for the Lord. And that's really who it is all about.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, that the Word became flesh, and that's what we are reminded with in that scripture. And so for our kids to see us get excited, you know, about that, that's really important. And I know that in years past, I've placed a lot of emphasis in, you know, getting a lot of things right, like, you know, shopping for presents and things like that. And this year, you know, usually the Thanksgiving weekend, family comes in, and so we do a lot of prep for that, and then everybody heads back. Like, one of my sister-in-laws headed back on Friday, and another one was here an extra day, so we went out for dinner on Saturday evening, and then they spent the day with my mother-in-law. And so those weekend days, I tend to, you know, shop at select places. And last year, I think, 'cause we had a little bit more time, and I don't think we had as many relatives come in that year, but I was all done except for a few little things that I was going to order online. And it was just so nice to take that break in December and just really focus on, you know, just making it a more of a relaxed time, a time to just be with family, a time to gather with friends. We have friends that have moved about 30 miles away, which is not, you know, really far, far away, but they don't go to our church anymore, so we don't get to see them as often. And so, you know, we try really hard to get together with them and do some things, you know, because we were such close friends and would camp together. And as our kids grew up, they were really close from schooling friends. And so, you know, we do that sort of thing again, and I'm excited about that. And, you know, I found that when I was focused on the presents or the tree or the cooking, or, you know, you guys have heard me talk about my baking and how much I love it. But when I got so focused on those things, I found myself like a little bit depressed, and I couldn't figure out why I was down until I realized it was because it wasn't on the right emphasis wasn't there. Does that make sense, Meredith? You know, I just
Absolutely.
Felt, you know, kind of like let down, like something was missing.
I agree, because really so much of Christmas falls on us as moms. And it can be overwhelming, but if there's that missing part of wonder, I think the magical ingredient of Christmas is wonder. And we create wonder for our children. You know, they see the lights and all that stuff. And but we need to carve aside time to sit back and have, you know, just be in awe, as you mentioned in the very beginning. And one of the things that I love about Christmas is twinkle lights. And this last year, I always, you know, go shopping on December 26th. And last December 26th, I picked up these lights, and not knowing what they truly were. Well, I plugged them all in because my other lights had burned out, and I used to run a lighted garland down my stairs. But I found that I was constantly vacuuming up pine needles, so this time I just ran up these lights up the stairs, you know, these brand new lights I got. And so then I had to turn them on. So I turned them on, and I realized you could keep hitting the little button. Well, they do the nice, pretty, gentle, like, flicker on and flicker off, and then they do this other intense, as if you're in a rave, you know. So I strung up like three sets of them and then turned off all the lights and turned them all on and surprised my whole family. And they were like, turn it off, turn it off. I feel like I'm getting a seizure, you know. But it was really funny. So that was our big Christmas, you know. There's always a Christmas funny. But what my husband and I love to do at night is we have Christmas lights everywhere. We don't even have our tree up, but we have lights in the kitchen, and we have lights in, you know, different displays around the house. And so we'll turn off all the lights and just put on the Christmas lights and have some coffee or some hot chocolate and just sit and visit and, you know, talk about things that are pleasant and enjoy just the stillness and the beauty of it. And I think what I love about darkness with just Christmas lights is it reminds me so much that we live in this dark world. And, I mean, if you're reading the news or keeping up with the way things are degenerating, things seem to get blacker and blacker. And yet into that darkness, this light came that changed everything. And no matter how dark the world gets, God has his people in the earth, and they're like those Christmas twinkle lights, and they're shining, and they turn everything and make it beautiful. And so to me, it's such a spiritual lesson when I see, you know, the darkness and then the twinkle lights, and they're shining, and I'm just reminded of the beauty that God creates through his people, first by sending Jesus, of course, but now by sending Jesus into the lives of people. And it's just such a constant miracle. And I think about that, you know, like we're all like one little twinkle light, and, you know, not very bright, but all of us together are so beautiful and shining his glory into the earth.
Oh, that is beautiful. And, you know, when I was talking about my friends, one of the things I was thinking I'd like to do this year is a traveling dinner. And you have an ebook that is Celebrating Christmas with a Traveling Dinner. Tell us a little bit about that, Meredith.
Oh, I'd love to. When I moved to Central Florida, my parents were still alive, but we never really got together at Christmas. When I grew up, we always stayed with our own little family at Christmas, and we got together with my grandparents before Christmas to celebrate. So my parents wanted, you know, us to have our own little Christmas things, and I grew up making a huge Christmas dinner on Christmas Eve, and Mike grew up with a huge dinner on Christmas Day. So what happened, we combined that. So I was making a huge meal Christmas Eve and a huge meal Christmas Day. And so I was looking for kind of a way to stop doing two huge meals. So I met Laura, and we became friends. Our families became friends, and she didn't have family here either. And so we decided to spend Christmas together. And so we were planning to have Christmas dinner together, and somehow, you know, I said, well, which one, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? And she said, well, on Christmas Eve, we do a traveling dinner. And I said, a traveling dinner, what is that? And she said, well, when my children were really, really young, we wanted to do something meaningful to teach our children the Christmas story. So because Joseph and Mary were traveling before they got to Bethlehem, and then as soon as they got there, she had her baby, we decided that we would travel too. And sometimes all we did was just travel from the kitchen to the living room and set up a picnic lunch. But as the years, you know, got on, we would like travel to a park and have a picnic or something like that. So I said, oh, that's a great idea. And my thought was, oh dear, you know, I won't have to cook two dinners anymore. I can just pack a picnic, you know. So I came home and I told my parents, I told my family, we're going to do a traveling dinner this year. And of course, my family was like, oh, what? We're not going to do the tradition. They were very upset. So that year we went to the beach and it was absolutely freezing, and we packed up a picnic and we, you know, got there and we were all huddled in blankets and we did our Christmas Eve devotions and we ate. And then, you know, we got home and I thought, well, that was it. You know, the kids probably hated it. It was cold. It was miserable. And they said, oh, we loved it. It was awesome. When are we going to do it again? So from that year on, our two families have done the traveling dinner every year, except one year I think we were sick. So from about 1999 to 2013, I guess this will be our 14th traveling dinner. And some years we drive all the way down to the beach. Sometimes we go to a park, Gemini Springs, that's nearby. And we play football and, you know, bring frisbees, and we just have a great time. And so different years, different people have joined our families, and sometimes it's, you know, been rather large, and sometimes it's been small. But it has been a neat thing, and also a reminder as we pack up the car, as we pack up the food, that this is what Joseph and Mary did. They packed up everything,
beautiful,
thinking we're packing up to go to pay our taxes, but really, they were packing up to fulfill the prophetic word that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem.
Right. And that's so true. And, you know, it's just a reminder, again, to the children, but in such a way that's tangible, you know, that they'll be able to, you know, continue on with you. And it's just beautiful, Meredith. I love that. You know, so in this book, you have information about how you do that.
We have information about how to do it, what to pack. I bought a throwaway plastic tablecloth that I use to just put over usually wherever we go. There's a wooden table, and so to make it more festive, and we've collected, you know, plastic bowls and different things that are pretty but easy to clean up or throwaways. And so we get through all the nuts and bolts of just what do you do if it's freezing, you know, what kind of hot things travel well. And we've also gotten, we have a ton of recipes in there that we have used year after year and work well eating outside. We've learned that it's better to, as much as you can, pack finger foods. And so just, you know, all the little tips that we've learned, the little recipes, we have pictures in there of our different adventures, games that you can play, devotions, things that you can do when you're there. And so that is all in the ebook and a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, our focus, again, is, you know, for the children to keep Christ focused. And you know, our church has what they call the Giving Tree, where they will put up name tags, you know, not the person's name, but just like little tags that have a child that will say something like female 13 and then give some ideas of things the child might like. If it's clothing, it will give their size and things like that. And so each year I encourage my kids to pick teenagers close to their ages. And then we go shopping for them, and then, you know, we go back and wrap up the gifts, but we always add things like a little mini Bible or some prayer cards and some other things. And I just love to do that because it just shows my kids, again, some things that you may not think about, you know, that there are kids who don't have the resources, you know, that we have as a family and rely on those gifts from others, and it just makes it more special. And I really enjoy doing that. You know, it's kind of cool to watch them select the different items and that kind of thing. And, you know, we did shop this weekend, so they were able to get a little bit more because things were on sale, you know, and then we checked out one of the items was a little bit less than what we had expected, so that gave them a little bit more money in their budget, you know. So it was really cool to watch, and you know, it just, again, it's one more thing and memories that we create, and you know, how we can work with our kids and help them to focus on, you know, the most important thing, which is not self. And you know, I know some families like that their kids give them lists, and we've never done that in our family. There's just something that bothers me personally about that, so I can't do it. But you know, for some families it might be helpful because then it helps you you know, see exactly what it is that your kids might want. Have you done that? How do you guys exchange presents, Meredith?
Well, we actually do lists, and because we always, my family tends to ask for practical things, like every year in their stocking, they know in their stocking and their Easter basket, they're always going to get toothbrushes and toothpaste. So I know
funny.
That sounds silly, but we give really practical things. And, you know, Jimmy, we just ask for things that we need. And or
right.
books that we're interested in reading, and what, you know, just give ideas, and that helps us to shop for one another. And I'll always say, get me body wash, you know, and just little things like that. So
mm-hmm.
we're not
mm-hmm.
very extravagant in the way that we give to each other, and we're, but a lot of times we make handmade gifts for one another, and that's actually what I'm going to talk a lot about tonight on the Finish Well Radio show. We're going to talk about making really inexpensive gifts. Now, when Shine was really little, she would go into people's rooms and take things that belong to them and
How
wrap
funny.
Them up and give them to us. So that was very inexpensive.
I know. I had one that did that too. He would find things around the house. That was Michael. Michael would do that. He'd find things around the house, and then somehow you were missing something or other, but he would just do it arbitrarily as a gift. You know, Mommy, I have something for you. I think his love language was giving.
That was so
cute. He didn't do
cute.
It for, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But, you know, I guess, you know, it is helpful. You know, my kids tell me some things like, you know, I need new baseball gloves and my cleats don't fit and things like that. But yeah, you know, I've heard of friends, kids that are, you know, will ask for really extravagant things, and I just think that just takes away, defeats the whole purpose of, you know, the holidays for me, when it becomes so material, because I have gone through that. So I think for me, especially now, and even back then, when I did overspend and overbuy, it wasn't because the kids gave me these big lists. I just like to bless people with things. I don't really like receiving, but I do like giving. So
it is interesting, because when I grew up, we would get the Sears wish book, and we would make
mm-hmm.
our list from the wish book. But
I remember the Sears book.
Yes. But I always, my children, when my children were very little, my oldest ones were very little. Mike was in seminary, and we basically had no money. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
they would get something nice from Grandma and Grandpa and something from the dollar store for Mike and I. And so they just grew up. And so because they grew up like that, they just never had an attitude to expect a lot and want a lot, and neither did any of my other children. And I've been blessed with that. And we do what you do, but except we do the shoebox. We fill a shoebox for the, you know, children, poor children. And that's through the YMCA. They always have them out every year. And then another thing that we've done that's really kind of neat, and we haven't done this in several years, but we would buy boy baby clothes for baby Jesus, and then we would take them to a crisis pregnancy center. And so that was a way to, you know, let the children again realize that God became a man, a baby. And then it was a way to also just give them a heart for, you know, pro-life movement, for, you know, that. So that was something that is a neat tradition, you know.
That is great. I've never heard of that. That's beautiful, Meredith. Yeah, our church does things like sponsor the teens, come in, and we'll babysit for free. And so moms and dads can go shopping, and they bring the kids over. And I believe it's this Saturday, and Anne's really sad to miss it because we'll be at a baseball tournament for her. I think it's the last one this month. But she enjoys it every year. She really enjoys doing that. But there's, you know, different things that help the kids, again, remember, you know, the real reason. And one thing that Jill did that really touched me, and for those of you that know me and my curriculum with Media Angels, Jill Whitlock and I wrote a series of creation science study guides. And when Jill went through a divorce with her husband, it was really, really a hard time for her. And so the thought of Thanksgiving or even Christmas dinner kind of was more than what she could handle. So I know one year she came here, and while her boys were with their dad, so that, you know, she wasn't alone. But the day before, and then I know Thanksgiving Day, she would go to the shelter or soup kitchen or even something sponsored by a church if she could find one. And she talked about that so joyously. It really impacted her life at that point. You know, it was other than, you know, sitting there feeling sorry that, you know, life hadn't worked out the way she had hoped, you know, and just giving back. And I'm looking at some of the comments in the chat room that people are making along those same lines, you know, encouraging their kids to use their talents, or, you know, some moms, you know, Gays here from Alaska, and, you know, they're traveling, so they're not even putting up a tree, but they help their parents decorate when they get there. So, you know, just different things, or saving because they're going to be taking a big trip. And I know, you know, that's always a really fun thing. You know, my kids will get things like movie tickets, even though they're not big fans of going to the movies. They'd much rather they're like me. I would much rather watch a movie at home. I'll wait until it comes out, you know, from home, because, you know, it's just too tough for me to go to the theaters, and my kids are like that too. And I think we have some movie tickets that were given to my kids last year that they never used, but one of our Angel Tree kids wanted movie tickets, so my kids were going to re-gift that. And
oh,
you know how
good.
Great. Yeah, so because those can be really expensive, you know. Can't believe how much it costs to go to the movies, which is another reason, you know, with our entire family, you could buy about 5 movies is what it would cost to go, you know, one time. So
yes, absolutely.
You know, so we really enjoy that. But Meredith, I wanted to talk, this is a little off topic and not so much Christmas, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the FinishWell conference, because, well, it is off topic, but it also is, you know, what we're discussing today about keeping kids Christ-focused. And what you do in January this year, you are hosting another Finish Well conference, and that is in the Orlando, Florida area. And I've memorized that.com, so I'll give it to you guys. It's finishwellcon.com. And you can go there and find out information about that. But the Finish Well conference really focuses on finishing through high school, and I know you've got things for the younger kids as well, but really with a Christ focused, and it is just a time, every time I go, I feel so blessed, besides which Meredith does spoil me in the midst of all of her preparation for this conference. I've stayed with her for at least 3 years that I can think of, and 1 year there was even chocolates with my towels. Like, this is a 4-star hotel. And I told her, I said, please do not do the chocolates. I do not need them. I love you for the thought. But yeah, it's just a time, and just going to this conference, you will be spoiled. You know, they really go overboard from everything, from the decorations that are there. I know we all received little scrolls with Bible verses 1 year. There's always surprises. So tell us a little bit about that, and if you could give us the date this year.
Well, this Finish Well was birthed in my heart when I spoke one time at the library about homeschooling high school. And all these people asked me all these questions. And at the end, when Mike and I were driving home, there had been a huge turnout, and I was crying. And Mike said, why are you crying? And I said, because they asked the wrong questions. And, you know, there were so many things they weren't thinking about. You know, it was a question and answer kind of thing, and I was with some other women. And so I sat down, and Mike said, well, then let's do something. Let's do something to answer the questions that people need to ask, and how to raise children who are going to serve the Lord for the rest of their life, and how to deal with rebellion, and how to, what to teach, how to teach in a way that is Christ-centered, and how to get ready for college and be able to stand in the midst of an unbelieving world, and really in academia, a very anti-Christian world. And so with that in mind, we gave birth to this conference, and there's workshops for teens, and there's sessions for teens and parents together, sessions for parents, and, of course, anyone is welcome to go whatever session they want to. But the idea was, let's inspire teens to serve Jesus with all their heart and to stay pure in this generation, and let's inspire parents to give themselves fully to the privilege of homeschooling teenagers and homeschooling high school. And so that's what we do. And we have a lot of homeschool grads. We have a huge Finish Well team that puts the conference together. And we are all friends and family, and we love each other. And, you know, we're living out what we're teaching. And we're not perfect, and we've learned from our mistakes, and we're honest and vulnerable in sharing what we've been through to help other people. So it's really almost more of a retreat than a conference, though, oh my goodness, it is packed with information. And there's everything from how to homeschool high school, how to make your own transcripts, to, you know, very special things. This year the focus is God's world, and so we're going to talk a lot about worldview. There's going to be some things for parents on how to teach geography. And then there's some special children for siblings of teens who come, and there's 4 breakout sessions for them, and they're going to go to mission school and then travel to 4 different continents in each of the 4 sessions. Each one will be a different continent, and they're going to go to a country and share the gospel in that country. So it's going to be some really neat breakout sessions. But basically, wow, people always come to me and say, I love hearing the young people who teach, the homeschool grads who teach and who mm-hmm. are walking with Jesus. And, you know, because it makes them say, parents tell me, I can do this. I can do this. And and I've been weary, but there's other people out there. They love Jesus. They want to do this. Or, you know, we've had parents come and they're, I don't know what to do with my teenager. And there's a young man that I know that, you know, a year ago when he came to Finishville, he was in so much rebellion. Well, since then, mm-hmm. he's accepted Christ. He's serving Christ.
Wow.
He's grown. He's changed. He's such a blessing to his mom. He's from a single parent home. So God just moves through Finishville, and it's a very exciting conference to be a part of. And it's January 24th and 25th, and you can register online. We have we had a couple come from New York. I don't know if they're coming again this year, but I do know that we have people coming from Georgia, South Carolina. So people are traveling, and Felice is there every year with us, and she'll be talking about creation and about electives and things like that. But it is just a great time with God, with one another, and to get some really solid information and help and inspiration for homeschooling high school.
Right. It is. And then there was also breakout sessions for the moms. I know in the past Meredith has had a panel, and it's been really to be on that panel and just to have a bunch of moms in the room where we could take questions from the moms in the audience, and some of them are really tough questions, like, you know, especially with moms that are single moms. But then we were able to break out into small sessions and pray for each other. And what a blessing that is to be able to come to a conference that is, it was a fairly good sized group, but still to make it intimate enough that we could pray for each other and just have that time, you know, to listen to some of the needs. Because when I go to some of the bigger conferences, it's just impossible to do that, you know. But in this case, you know, it's just so, so wonderful to be able to do that. And I'm looking forward to that time in January when we'll come. And I get to be with Meredith, because even in the hustle and bustle, we grab some time where we can just sit and eat lunch or, you know, a drink or something where we've got a few minutes. And then, of course, afterwards. So, but listen, we are going to wind up now. And just any final words that you'd like to leave our audience with, Meredith?
Yes, I would like to leave you with this thought, that you were in the heart of God when he sent his son to become a man. And you're in the heart of God now, and nothing is hidden from his sight. And he sees everything that you do and all the motives in your heart to be a blessing to your family, to honor him. And when you stumble and fall, he offers forgiveness. And just enjoy the love of God this Christmas, and all of you be blessed. You feel like family over the internet, and so be blessed with a very, very happy Christmas.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. And I just also want to thank all of you. We're going to do one more live show this month, and then I'm going to be taking a well-needed break. So there will be some shows that are going to be recorded and will be up for you guys to listen to, but those are all going to be pre-recorded shows that I'm going to be uploading. So I just wanted to, you know, encourage you guys to come next week. We're going to have a panel of some of the moms. Meredith is going to come back, and Carol Topp and a few other show hosts that will share some things, you know, either money-saving ideas or tips and things like that for Christmas. And also wanted to tell all of you who are listening that there is a handout with this audio, so be sure to get that. And many of our show hosts also have discounts and sales right now, and I have one at Media Angels that is going through the second week of December, so there'll still be time to get things sent in the mail. But it is some of the things I have limited stock on, and some of Meredith's books are half price, so go look over there and see if there's something that you're interested in. So, Meredith, thank you again for coming on with me. I so enjoy having these sessions of lunch with you. I learn something new every day. I think I'm going to take the baby Jesus clothing idea. I think that is so cute because there is a home that is near one of the churches locally where moms can live until they give birth to their babies. And I know that they're always looking for gifts, but what a great idea to do it with the thought of celebrating Christmas in mind. So I just love that.
Good.
And thanks again, Meredith.
Thank you for having me. I love you, Felice. You're awesome.
Okay. I love you too. Thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm a publisher, and one day my daughter Christina asked me to write a novel with her. Well, that day was long ago, and that little girl is now an adult. But our novels live on. The Truth Seekers Mystery Series highlights a homeschool family, the Murphy Teen, in an action-adventure novel that is sure to entertain as well as teach creation truths. To get your copy, visit our website at truthseekersmysteryseries.com.
FinishWell 2014, the conference for teens and their family, has interesting talks for teens, fun people to meet, a great vendor hall for shopping, delicious food, and even airsoft games. For more information, check us out on the web at finishwellcon.com.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.